just doesn't have the same sound as a pull tab.
That's
on a can, does it? No. Bob. Well, everybody's out of cans everywhere now for summer shandy. About all anybody's got left anymore is bottles.
Really?
Yeah. Well, hey, hi, how are you?
It's good.
Andy's Things and Stuff. That was a rhetorical statement.
Oh.
You know, like some dumb thing I always said at the beginning of radio shows. I was.
Very friendly opening.
Casey, I forget how to say your last name. Kustak?
Yeah, you can say it anyway. It's Kustak, but
Kustak,
everybody calls me Kustak, Kustak. I don't know.
Kustak.
Kustak. It's a very Polish last name.
Is it?
Yeah.
Kustak.
My family is a weird generations of wimps. Just always surrendering. Come on in.
So I've known you for how long?
Oh, like, am I allowed to swear on this?
Yeah, okay, fucking
good.
A.
Okay. Shit. like what, 13? 14 years?
Because was it when we were doing the open mics down at
the
Fat Daddy's? Was that when I met you?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I couldn't remember if I met you before that or not, but yeah.
No, I think we've had interactions beforehand, but we didn't know it, like just through passing.
Yeah.
Because at one point you were looking for a new co-host in like maybe mid to late 2007, and my wife was like, well, you went to school for radio broadcasting. I went,
oh,
to school for broadcast journalism. And I called up the radio station. I said, what do you guys want? And I sent you just a bunch of stupid stand-up comedy clips instead of me on the radio.
I don't remember that.
I'm going to get on the radio because I'm funny.
Some people have. It happens.
Yeah.
For sure.
I thought it was my shot.
Those were so fun. Those open mics at Fat Daddy's back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
And I beat you in the competition. I got second and you got third. You've actually been paid to perform stand-up comedy before and I haven't, but I did beat you at the open mic. That was wrong, by the way. I was appropriately placed. You should have got first. And the guy who got first should have got third. I don't remember why. Did you break the like no cussing rule or something? Is that why?
You know what? No.
Because there was like a no cussing rule. We weren't supposed to cuss because it was like cheating or whatever.
Maybe. You know, that's the thing that I hate. And when it comes to cussing and comedy, I think I've learned a lot over the 16, 17 years of doing it, is that very, very early on in my career, it was always like, just put in a fuck. Just, just fuck this,
yeah.
You know, and like, you're going to get the laugh. And then I learned, oh, it's more, you're just doing it for the shock and the quick and easy laugh,
yeah,
and response. And
no,
then,
it is a little cheap. But some people are really good at saying it, though, too.
Right. That's very
like,
true.
Even if they say it sort of frequently, if they say it the way they say it, like Samuel L. Jackson can say it all the time,
right,
and I'm entertained.
Absolutely.
But, you know, if Jerry Seinfeld said it all the time, I would be like, this is weird.
Yeah. I think his comedy would lose a lot because his comedy is very smartly,
like,
written, you know, it's very intellectual.
Ellen DeGeneres' special that was on Netflix,
oh, yeah,
a few
when
years
she
ago.
Dropped the fuck?
She dropped one F bomb and it was like, I died. It absolutely killed me because she always has worked pretty clean.
She's that wholesome.
Yeah.
Wholesome. Was the wholesome comic until you found out she was kind of a cunt.
Yeah.
I am going to.
And I thought, it was rough working where I used to work. You know, working for Ellen sounds like it was, kind of one of the most
nightmare.
Terrible things ever. So you're also. Wait, how are you supposed to say it?
It's pronounced Igor.
Igor. you started doing, what was the first thing? So you're in the production of Young Frankenstein.
With the Premiere Playhouse. What was the first one that I did? When they were Sioux Empire Community Theater, so prior to being
Is it kind of the same thing,
yeah,
but redone?
Yeah, they just
okay.
rebranded themselves as the Premiere Playhouse. I was LeFou in Beauty and the Beast. And I kind of just jumped back into acting because my wife wanted to audition for Beauty and the Beast at the same time. And I got cast and she didn't. And that's still kind of bringing up old wounds. It kind of stung, but I stuck it out and did it. And then COVID hit. And so now not only was I not going to be on stage for comedy.
Oh, yeah.
I wasn't going to be on stage for acting. And comedy still hadn't opened up by the time that South Dakota said, yeah, you know what? We don't believe in COVID. Yeah. We're going to just open shit up.
But nobody else had.
But yeah. And so I went, well, I'll just do some acting to get my outlet. You have this outlet for being, you know, goofy and funny, and had a relatively, you know, fun role as LeFou, which is Gaston's henchman. If you have any Disney, listen to the show.
So did that production ever happen?
Yeah.
It did. Okay. I was going to say, I thought I saw pictures and stuff.
It happened the year after. So, you know, not every place had started opening up yet. And, South Dakota was really one of those first states that just said, yeah, fuck it. We're going to do whatever
we're gonna
we want.
Open
So it was a double cast, and we all had to wear clear masks. We're just like, this is fucking stupid.
Yeah.
The mask things didn't make sense because we were always constantly around each other anyways, but, you know, managed to get through that without coming down with it. Knock on wood, I'm going to say that because I'm in another show and COVID's ramping up again. But it was a lot of fun. It was a nice way to exercise the skill sets that I didn't remember having. You know, I had done high school theater and so forth back in the day. And getting back into it, I've never thought I was a good singer. I never thought I was a great actor. But just being around people and just making them laugh, I was like, okay, cool. I found home. I found this place where I can be funny and do the things that I want to do to feel accomplished. Mm-hmm. if that makes any like a sense.
No, it totally does. I mean, if it's something you like doing, and I mean, performing in front of people is quite addicting. Like, I wish I had time to dive back into that stand-up thing, because like, had I actually like dedicated myself to it, I think it
you would have made a really good comic,
done something. But it was fun. God, I love and hate my Ring Alarm more than anything I own. They are fantastic and awful at the same time, because that noise, you'll be in a crowd of people and you hear that jingling noise.
You know, I never get anything good on mine. Never get anything good on my camera. That was the only reason I got it.
There was a video of me falling up the stairs.
Oh, that's good.
And another one of my son dancing, just being silly, not realizing he was on camera. Mm-hmm. Or maybe he did realize he was in camera. I can't remember. But he was just doing his thing.
We have security cameras in our house.
Inside the house?
Inside the house, because we would let our kids stay home. So what we would end up doing is, we both have kids. You've got a teenager.
Yeah.
And I've got two preteens. Mm-hmm. And so maybe about 2 years ago, Abby and I decided that we would start giving our kids this responsibility of being able to stay home alone.
Get a little closer to the microphone.
For a couple of hours. She's going to tell me that. I thought I was leaning in it pretty hard.
No.
If I get any closer, I'm going to be...
Well, I was backing off because you were backing off. And finally, I'm like, just get out. Anyway, so you have cameras in your house.
So we got these cameras just to keep an eye on them. Abby and I would go grocery shopping or, you know, go to the store, run some errands, you know, without the hassle of kids. And one day I had kept the security cameras on when we got home, and I was getting a notification that there was movement downstairs. And so I went, huh, weird. So I opened it up, and there's my daughter, Beckett. Well, my child, Beckett. And they're doing these weird dances in front of the TV, and they don't realize it's on. They don't realize the camera's on and it's recording. And so I just go, Beckett.
Oh, you can talk through
them. Talk through it.
Yeah.
talk to them through the thing, and they like just started freaking out. It was one of the funniest things. I was like, this is the reason why we've got indoor security cameras.
Here's why. I mean, the temptation is there for me to get it, but at the same time, I don't want it, because then, like, now between that and we got the Life 360 app for my when my daughter got her cell phone. But now my wife knows where I am whenever she wants to know. Like, there's no secret trips to Shields anymore. That's not a thing that happens anymore. And if there were cameras on in the house, like, what's he actually doing all day? Like, I don't want a record of that. That's not going to go well for me.
I live and I'm always worried that I'm going to forget to turn it off.
So it actually turns off. It's not just like
I have to go in. I have to go in and turn it off. But anytime there's movement, it records like a 12-second clip. It's gonna get a 12-second clip of me dancing naked or something.
Yeah, I don't. It's bad enough. I always know. And sometimes I almost feel bad. Like, well, where's Crystal at? She's not at home. She's not at work. Where's she at? You know. I'm like, I don't want to be that snoopy. Like,
I've done that. To your point, I don't want to be that Snoopy either.
Sometimes it's I'm just like, where the hell is she? I thought she was going to be home by now. It's usually exactly that.
And then I'll see Abby.
Oh, she's at Costco. Icon. Hey, get more margarita.
She's at Target, and I'm just calling Target. I'm like, hey, how much do I owe you for rent this month?
Okay, so back to the playhouse, though. Okay, so you're Igor.
So I'm Igor in the Premier Playhouse's production of Mel Brooks Presents Young Frankenstein, the musical.
Tosh sent me a text.
Yeah.
She went to it. And she said, do you know Casey Kustak? And I said, yes.
I filled in for you, Tosh.
Yes.
Come on.
And I knew you were in it. And she said, he's in Young Frankenstein. I'm at it right now. He's pretty good.
Thank you. Well, thank you.
And she's like, she's a local theater snob.
Right.
You know, like, she goes to all the things and stuff.
Well, that means a lot. And as much as I will accept it, it's an ensemble show.
Somebody sucks. Come on. Someone in the show is terrible. Like, anytime it's like the small little thing going on, like, yeah, so someone's like just barely competent, like the right fielder on your softball team. Like, they're just like, yeah, they fill the roster out. They take a walk or strike out. No, I'm kidding. I'm just being obnoxious.
I hear what you're saying, and you're absolutely right. But this production, I would say everybody pulls their weight, and they are all so absolutely incredible. This is probably one of the most talented casts from vocal arrangement that I've ever been a part of.
So do you have a singing part?
Yeah, I sing... I sing quite a bit in three different.
Do you have to actually like sing, or is it more like sort of sing talk?
Well, that's like to sing talk because I'm not confident in myself.
Right. And that's the one. I'd be okay with like sort of sing talk, rapping, but sort of thing.
Our musical director, Matt Wallachy, he pulled me aside and he just said, "You've got a good voice. I don't know why he sounds like this. He's not some old Jewish man." He's going to listen. He's like, "What the hell is this? You got a good voice, kid. Just use it. Just dig down deep and just sing." No, he said, "You got a good voice and you got to use it." So he's been challenging me to actually like sing these parts and then pick out the parts that I feel could be, you know, sing talk, talk singing and whatnot. So I think I found a really good balance there. You know, I'm still not 100% confident in myself and my singing by any means. Like, give me some comedy and I'd be like, I'm going to own this.
Yeah.
Shit, you know?
Right.
But, yeah. But
you should do stuff outside your wheelhouse though.
Oh, absolutely.
100%. Absolutely. Like, it'll just, you know, anytime you kind of scare yourself a little bit, like self-conscious and nervous and, if you're easy all the time, it's, I don't know. I don't think you're getting better or growing or anything like that.
Yeah, you know, I got to do cabaret this last spring, and that was one of the most challenging pieces of
I don't know what that is at all.
Yeah. Or you're with it. I know.
You were in it. I still don't really know what it is.
I just know that Liza Minnelli really made Cabaret famous back in the 70s. And I got to play the part of this old Jewish man, this Jewish German, at the height of the Third Reich. And I'm like, the Nazis aren't going to come for me. I'm German. Why would they come for me? I'm a German, you know? And I got to play this dramatic part that's so different than anything I've ever done before. Cause I'm always like, just give me the laugh. You know? Yeah. I want to make people laugh. Now, see, now I'm talking vaudeville. These are my accents today, guys. It was incredibly rewarding in that aspect, is that I got to learn a lot about myself and my range and the things that I want to take on and pursue. And so it really opened my eyes due to our director, Oliver Mays. He opened my eyes to directing and helping create a world and this environment, and really got to let me explore that character. And he's like, I'm going to trust you to bring in, you're the character that brings hope into this world, into this dark world. And, so I'm going to trust you. And he let me do that and gave me a lot of freedom. But I'll also say, that's too much.
You went too far. No dick joke ad libs in Cabaret.
Right. Nobody's got a dick in Cabaret. We're all eunuchs in Cabaret. So that was really fun and exciting to get that aspect. And, you know, back to Young Frankenstein, I think the challenge that I'm experiencing right now is that I don't want to be compared to Feldman. You know, I want to create my own character.
Oh,
You know, Marty created.
Because you're playing the guy who said, walk this way.
What hump, you know, all of those things. It's if there's anything you remember from seeing Young Frankenstein as a kid, it's the Igor Frankenstein relationship.
It's the only thing. It's the only part of that. I saw it as a kid. I was probably pretty little when I saw it, but sometime in the 80s, which was at least 10 years after it came out. But like, the only thing I really remember is walk this way. That's honestly the only thing I remember about it.
Yeah, I think you'd be surprised that I think Mel Brooks has influenced a lot in pop culture. I always will say that if we didn't have Mel Brooks's comedy, we wouldn't have Airplane. We wouldn't have, you know, these farce movies, the comedy movies like Scary Movie and things like that. Well, granted, you know, as they progressed, they got a lot worse, of course, but we wouldn't have that style of humor, the parody humor that we see today without a Mel Brooks.
But like, I'm trying to think of when's the last movie like that that came out. I mean, they used to be far more prevalent, you know.
Yeah.
Like all the Mel Brooks stuff was hysterical. Mm-hmm. I think the last
Mel Brooks, you know, Spaceballs? Movie that came out was the Producers.
It was what?
Was The Producers.
Oh, that was a Mel Brooks movie?
Yeah, that was a Mel Brooks movie.
I didn't know that. I did see that production.
Back in like early 2000s that came out. And I remember seeing the stage version of it as well and going, this is great. You know, this is really good. When they announced Young Frankenstein, I said, I got to be a part of this. You know, as a comic, you grow up, you grow up being influenced by all these individuals: Mel Brooks, Adam Sandler, Chris Farley, Robin Williams, you know, Jim Carrey. Like, these are the people that I watched. You know, Leslie Nielsen. Mm-hmm. You know,
yeah. Oh God, Martin Leslie Short. Nielsen was so the fact that he was like a dramatic soap opera actor,
right? And
then basically just did the exact same thing with comedy writing and movies. He was so good, though.
He played a comedic straight man.
Yeah.
Which was...
That's hard to do.
There's nobody else like it.
No.
But, you know, growing up, you get those things, and you get those things burned in your head. And I remember, you know, going to school after seeing Ace Ventura, and I'm like, I'm going to talk out of my ass for 3 days. Just pissed off my teachers.
So Who is your favorite comedian? Like, if you had to pick one, gun to your head, who's your favorite comedian? And then I have a follow-up question that's going to, I think, be
like
a different
right
answer.
Now?
Just your favorite?
Just my favorite.
All-time.
All-time. Like, all-time, Robin Williams.
Okay.
There was just something so controlled about the chaotic energy that he had.
He is the single, I don't think there will ever be anyone like him ever again.
I don't
think
so either.
He was so, the fact that the stuff he could do off the cuff.
Yeah.
I mean, the fact that, you know, like, I remember reading that half of Good Morning Vietnam was ad-libbed, and yeah, it's just him just going off.
Yeah, they didn't have a script.
Like, yeah, it's just like Robin Williams does his thing. And yeah, then we'll film it, and then we'll use all the best parts, and it'll be amazing.
And then they were taking bits and pieces from Good Morning Vietnam and animating those for Aladdin, and that's how Robin Williams got the role of the genie. His death hit me incredibly hard.
Yeah,
you know, you lost. I don't want to say a mentor, you know, or necessarily a role model, but you. I lost somebody that was so inspirational to what I wanted to be, you know.
Yeah,
and that was crushing.
Well, and I was like, of all the musicians. Oh, I got more. Don't worry.
Hell yeah.
I got more. We're all good. There you go.
Oh, do I get to do the?
Yeah, give it a whirl. Maybe you can get more.
No.
That sounded like a wet fart after the pop.
Who says it wasn't?
Oh. Okay, so Robin Williams is your favorite. I thought it would be a different answer. Who makes you laugh the hardest?
Myself. No.
I'm hilarious.
Who makes me laugh the hardest? Oh, shoot. That's a really good question, and I don't want to give you a dead air, so I'm just going to fill it until I find out that name. I think there's a lot of comics that make me laugh the hardest right now, and Chad Daniels is one of them.
Yeah.
He's one of my favorites.
I started following him on Instagram.
I got to open up for him twice.
Oh, really?
Yeah, one time in St. Paul. He
had a heckler video out a couple months ago that just, it was like, it was like the greatest heckler video ever.
I stand by this, and I know others feel this way. Chad Daniels should be a lot more famous than he is.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
He is
100%.
I want to see Chad Daniels.
No, he's as good as any clown who's been on Netflix.
Yeah, I want to see his Netflix
special.
There have been
specials on Netflix. I'm like, okay, you paid to get this on Netflix, right? Like, that's how this happened. Like, they didn't come to you offering you money. Like, you paid. This is like hunting shows on the Sportsman's Channel. It's just a paid advertisement, is this show.
Yeah. But I love Mike Birbiglia. He's one of my favorites. I think he's one of the best storytellers out there. I know Nick Kroll isn't really much of a stand-up comic now, and he's more of, you know, a voice actor, and we've seen him in the League and things like that.
Yeah, I don't know who that is.
But I just watched a little bit of his stand-up special earlier this week, and I thought it was really, really good. And I love to see these specials when they come out, because we know that there are additional writers helping to support some of these bigger names.
Yeah.
You know, Jesse Joyce is another fun comic who
does that
writes
bug
from a
you?
Letter. I wouldn't say it bugs me, because I think there are individuals who are really, really funny, but they can't perform their own stuff, but they can write the hell out of anything,
right?
And I think that's an art in its own.
And just the performing of it is an art too.
Yeah, exactly. There are some people who got both, and then there are some people who don't.
Because the ones who have both, I think, are, I mean, you don't know if it's them writing it all themselves or if they've got help. But I mean, if they're writing it all themselves and just working it all out themselves, like Carlin did back in the day, I'm pretty sure nobody was helping him write his stuff. I don't know if they were or not, but. But like I got to see him not too long before he died. He played here at the Pavilion, And he had all his note cards out. And I had heard about that before when he was warming up for the next HBO special. He'd have all his,
right,
like his whole show in note cards on a table. And he even sort of explained, like, sorry, I'm working up for the next special. So I don't think I'll need him, but I got him here anyway, just in case. And then he just pretty much did the whole show without consulting him once and just absolutely killed it. It was so good. But,
you know, I write like, I don't want to say I write like that. I bring up a set list with me that kind of just keeps me, you know, in line with what I want to get done. You know,
yeah,
there are some twists and turns along the way, depending on the crowd reaction and, you know, the interaction piece. And if something just, you know, sparks and you're like, oh, yeah, fuck, I got to do this right now. Mm-hmm. You know,
like it's just all of a sudden going to fit because somebody did a thing and you made an off the cuff comment and now it's going to tie in. So, oh, we're going to move here now.
Yeah. You know, this one's really dumb, but I did a show in La Crosse, Wisconsin, the week after the Will Smith slap on Chris Rock.
Yeah.
And I had made a joke and I said, this is the worst weekend for comics everywhere. Because Will Smith has now made it okay for anybody to come up and slap us. And as soon as I said that, somebody's ringtone went off and it was the John Cena. Bam, 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 bam. And I was like, oh no, this is the worst. John Cena's here to slap me.
God.
You know, and so we had a good.
You couldn't have thought to plan that out. Like, if that had been planted, it wouldn't have worked.
No, yeah, exactly. I think you were even at that the one show I did with Craig Gass here in town.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And I was making the joke about the Santa Clauses, uh-huh, and then there was a parade of fucking Santa Clauses
that right outside the window. Yeah.
And then people were coming up to me like, did you plant that? I was like, I had no idea. And like, it was a week was before like Christmas.
It was like a truck or a limo full of Santas that at Wiley's. Yeah, you could see them through the window.
Yeah, there
like,
was a
right
SantaCon that was in town.
Oh, God. I forgot all about that.
I made a joke about Santa stooping my mom. And like,
so you're still performing now, right?
Yes.
Okay. Tell the story. I know the story. I know most of the story, but tell the story about how you got to open for Jeremy Piven. That was really cool.
That is my claim to fame. I was on a work trip and we were in St. Louis and we were just hanging out with a couple of coworkers that I had just met that night, and we all just kind of hit it off, and we were having some good discussions, and one of them says, hey, Jeremy Piven's in town. Should we go to Helium Comedy and see him? I was like, yeah, sure, why not? And tickets were cheap. So I actually just sent out a tweet about an hour beforehand, and I said, hey, going to your show, I'm a stand-up comic, I'm in town, can I have 7 to 10 minutes? And I'm sitting eating dinner, right, and my phone just goes off and it's just buzzing and I'm like, what the fuck is happening? And I pick up my phone and I go, holy shit, Jeremy Piven just responded to my tweet. And I open it up and he's like, yeah, you got it. And he's like,
did it say something like, let's see what you got, kid?
Yeah, let's
or something
see what you
like
got,
that?
Kid. And I'm like, I'm 30 years old. I'm not a kid. No. And so I'm like, holy shit. And I start freaking out. And like immediately at that moment, every single joke I had ever written in my entire life leaves my cranium. I'm like, oh, fuck. I forgot all of my jokes, every single one of them. And I call my dad because he's a big Piven fan and John Cusack fan. You know, he grew up in Chicago. And I'm like, hey, guess who's opening up for Piven? And he's like, you? And I'm like, hey, guess who forgot all his fucking jokes? You know? So I go into the club and I said, hey, I'm opening for Jeremy. And they're like,
what?
Who?
What?
Yeah. And she was she was very, very sweet. In fact, now we follow each other on Instagram.
Yeah.
May is Randy. She said,
oh, we have an opener. I went, I'm sure you do. I'm doing a guest spot now. Like, I had to say that. And so I showed her the tweet.
At least I think I am.
Yeah, I showed her the tweet. And she's like, okay, let's get you back to the green room. And so I'm going back to the green room. And I'm sitting with the other two comics, the host, the MC, and then the feature act. And I'm like, hey, they're like, who are you? And I go, Jeremy gave me 10 minutes. And they're
some asshole was eating in a restaurant.
I was just having
and
a really
I
good
I was
fun.
A smart ass on Twitter, and now I'm here.
Yeah, so Jeremy comes in, and he's like, you the kid? And I'm like, yeah, I mean, you've got more hair than me, but, you know, yeah, I'm the kid, you know. And he starts talking to me, and he's like, all right, well, take some balls. Let's see what you got. And I go out there and I crush it.
Oh,
I absolutely
nice.
Fucking kill that show.
You apparently remembered your jokes.
It was so funny. Like 10 minutes before I went on, I was like, Jordan, 1998 game six. I'm not taking this to game seven. You know, I'm like, I'm ending it here. And I went on and for 10 minutes, I might be exaggerating here, but I'm sure if you ask the people that I was with, they would say, yeah, for 10 minutes, there wasn't any silence. It was laughter. And like, that was a really good moment. That was a huge moment for me. And so I got an autograph from him afterwards. We got a picture taken, and we're sitting in the green room together, and he just looks up at me and he goes, hey, help me rate this joke. And so we're just naming hairy actors, like the hairiest actors that we can think of. And I'm like, Alec Baldwin, yeah. John Turturro, you know, and he goes out there and he uses John Turturro as like a hairy guy. And so I'm like, all right, great. And I'm like, I helped Jeremy Piven workshop a joke in St. Louis. And
I kind of did that with Bob Saget when he was Grand
cool
Falls. Like,
rest in peace, man.
Like he sort of took. It was just like a joke I made on the air when we did the interview with him about it's nothing but cornfields. I was like, or bean fields. And then he said the same thing. And I was like, yes, I wrote a joke that Bob Saget used. Yeah, he was like the of all the meet and greets and interviews I've done over the years. Yeah. It's not even close. He was like the nicest guy. As down to earth as just as Danny Tanner as you would think he would be. It was so refreshing to know that there was, you know, people like that in Hollywood that actually aren't like secretive dicks, you know, just super
genuine.
They might
have a bag of secretive dicks.
Yeah. But he was just, and that, oh man, like if all you ever saw was Danny Tanner, like you had no idea what you were getting in for.
Yeah, I think that was a fun
was,
revelation.
God, that was, I mean, I knew 90s. He was a dirty comic. Yeah. Like, he was not Danny Tanner. And, like, I always thought when he was hosting America's Funniest Home Videos, like, his entire shtick was, I have to say these awful jokes that someone else wrote for me. And then he had this soulless look on his face, like, but the checks keep cashing.
That's exactly it.
You know, it was.
But
I'm getting paid. Like, I don't blame him for that. It was so like, but I actually like almost held it against him. I'm like, because wasn't. I mean, he was like everybody's favorite dad on Full House, but like, I didn't think he was like the guts of that show.
Right.
You know, like he was just sort of the stable backbone. And then when he was a comic, I was just like. What? He's a comedian? It's got to be stupid, whatever. Like, just because I didn't know any better.
Right.
And then I saw Half Baked, and then I found out, oh, this dude's
God,
funny.
Oh, my God. Yeah, that was so great in Half Baked. Like, that one moment.
We,
you're like, what?
I suck dick for Coke. God, it's like the funniest line in a movie ever.
You know, you talk about like this preconceived notion that you had on Bob Saget, right? And
I get floored by normal people all the time too. I'm terrible. I'm so prejudicial when I meet people.
I am that way against blue collar comedy guys. Like I cannot stand Ron White, Larry the Cable Guy, whatever the fuck his face is, and
of those guys, I do like Ron White. Ron White makes me laugh. The rest of them don't really make me laugh, but Ron White does.
And I take that back.
I do like Bill Engvall, too.
Oh, that's the guy, Bill Engvall.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to have his PR team on my dick later. You forgot his name.
You couldn't even think of his name. How can you not like him?
Fucking idiot. I can't stand those guys. However, I have the utmost respect for them because they have made millions. And Jeff Foxworthy is a billion. Might be a redneck alone. And I'm like, fuck me on a catchphrase.
Yeah. And he had George Lucas genius marketing. Just marketed that
you
phrase.
Might be a redneck cookbook.
Yeah.
Fuck you, Jeff.
No, every time I see a Ron White special, I saw him in concert once too. We saw him at the Pavilion when he played here.
Yeah.
I thought he was good. I never, we also went to, I'm blanking on his name.
Dave Chappelle.
No, it wasn't
he was
Dave
here
Chappelle.
And that was a crazy
He show. Was here?
Yeah.
When was he here?
2010, 11, I
think.
Oh,
it was a while ago.
Yeah, it was a while back. Okay. Yeah.
No.
I think he passed through. He's like, I'm out.
Yeah. Like, he literally drove into town and then drove out or flew in and flew out. No, God damn. What in the hell? Tim Taylor. What the hell? Tim Allen. Yeah.
He had half of it.
I had half of it. Yeah. Could not think of his last name. Saw him at the Pavilion. Dave was pretty good. I thought Ron White was better, but he was, we laughed. That was a decent show.
Get a few cocktails in him and he's buzzed light year.
Yeah.
So. But I'm out of here. So have a good night, Andy.
Yeah. Really? People pay you? No. So you're still performing. Where do you typically perform? For a local guy with a Joe job and a family and all that. So how does that work?
Yeah, I am signed under Funny Business, and so I have got a booking agent essentially, and I just shoot them emails whenever I'm free or have the opportunity, and I usually get an email back with three or four openings that hey, we need a feature or a host or something like that, and I take a look at it and I go, is the money worth the drive?
Yeah. Because it's only what you get paid for the gig.
Yeah. How much time am I doing? And so I think the last time I spoke to Alicia, I said, hey, she had given me a couple of hosting gigs and I made pretty good money as host. But I'm like, I'm only doing 15 minutes. Can I do some feature work? And then she set me up with just a shit ton of feature shit. shows. Sorry. I've done that. I don't have anything lined up because I'm waiting until right after Young Frankenstein wraps, and I hope to jump right back into it. I want to take some time off and be a dad for a little bit.
Because it's when Tosh was doing what the hell was it? Mary Poppins.
Oh yeah.
Years ago, she did it the one time. Was like, yep, I don't need to do that ever again. But it was fun. I'm glad I did it. It's a lot of work.
Yeah.
I mean, it's kind of a full time volunteer job.
That's exactly it. From 6 to 10 for almost 8 weeks.
Yeah, a long time.
Sunday through Thursday, and it was a lot of time, and I'm gonna get all sappy on the viewers here and the listeners, and my oldest just started middle school, and they're like coming, what the fuck is homework? And what is this shit, Dad? Mom, Dad, I need some help. And so Abby, my wife, is the assistant stage manager for Young Frankenstein.
Mm-hmm.
Not only is she my boss at the stage, she's the boss in the bedroom too. So that's a lot of fun and intimidating. But we both have kind of gone, ooh, maybe we were a little selfish taking this on, for ourselves. But, raising two children for, almost 13 years now, we were like, oh, we needed a moment for what we wanted to do.
Yeah. That's not I don't think you should feel bad about that.
I don't. I hate my kids.
Oh, okay.
I'm just kidding.
No, but
love the bastards.
I mean, if your kids don't see you being passionate about something, mm-hmm. the kids who only ever have their parents like hovering over every single thing and activity that they want to do and do, like I saw my dad was always a very, when I was younger, he was a hardcore passionate trap shooter. Like he was into it and played softball and that was his thing. And then when he got older, then, you know, as my activities increased, his decreased, but he was still like, I'm still doing some trap shooting. I'm not, you know, going all over the state anymore, but I'm still doing it. Now I'm going to, you know, or going on an elk hunting trip, or just like the fact that my parents had passions, like I think that's good for them to see. 100%.
I agree with you. You know, our kids are recognizing that, and Beckett and Penelope, they've gotten involved on the stage and with the Premier Playhouse and at school and with DAPA. You know, my youngest Penelope just got cast in Twas the Week After Christmas. It's this new children's musical. I've never heard of it. She starts rehearsals in November, you know, and while Beckett tried out, unfortunately they didn't get in, but Beckett's like, I'm going to audition for my school play now. I'm going to,
The secret with DAPA is you have to pay for classes. Then you get cast.
Yeah.
Like you have to pay them money.
I'm learning that.
No matter how much how good you are, if you're not paying for DAPA classes, they're not going to cast you. Ask me how I know and how pissed I was when we got the email the first time Jackie tried out for something. And like, I didn't expect her. She was like barely old enough to even audition.
Right.
I did not expect her to get the part. But when we got the rejection email along with sign up for all of our classes all year long, I was like, fuck you. This is bullshit. I was so pissed. Like, are you kidding me?
You know,
Just send the rejection letter and call it a day. Don't try and sell me crap.
I get it. And I think I'm on your side for the most part, but I do think it's very nice knowing that there's an outlet that can help provide, you know,
I get why
develop those skills.
But why have open auditions then?
I just
give the kids that are buying classes the parts, okay? Because we all know that's what's happening anyway. So.
I learned about the money thing after Penelope got cast, and I was like, I did not read this anywhere.
Yeah,
and they're like, oh, we hit it, and I'm like, okay,
yeah.
No. DAP is going to listen to this and they're going to be like, Penelope's no longer in
I'm
this.
Pretty sure they remember me.
You can't do that.
Or at least whoever was running it back then. This was a long time ago, but I was pissed. I was like, we get the rejection letter and an ad to buy crap. I'm like, oh.
While we didn't cast it here, you might like. no, but Penelope and Beckett, they were part of the Penguin Project, which is something new with the Premier Playhouse. This is an all abilities production. So kids with physical and mental disabilities got to shine on stage. They got to be the actors and actresses. And I thought that was so cool. And Abby stepped up and stepped into this ASM role as they were looking for him. And then
what's ASM?
Assistant stage manager. I should say that.
Can't be talking lingo stuff.
Yeah, sorry, talking Hollywood talk. Hey, all right, hey. hey, leave me alone. Hey, come in. You want to check out my classes?
what does a grip do?
A grip?
Yeah.
Oh, for like...
Like in movies. You always see that in the credits, the grip.
I have no idea.
Yeah.
I have no idea.
Do they like
idea
just hold stuff? Is that what they
I'm
do?
I'm guessing.
Like, I don't know.
Yeah. They're not the boom operators.
That's what goes in my head.
That's kind of what I'm thinking,
but
too.
Wouldn't that
but
be
they
like
would say boom op?
Boom
right?
microphone operator. I don't know.
But Beckett and Penelope got to be mentors on this show. And so they kind of, you know, stand in and help, you know, these kids remember their lines or sing along with them and act along. And like, I'd be lying if I didn't say I'm up in the, you know, rafters, up in the scrim. Bringing everything up and down, wiping tears from my eyes, going, "That's those are my kids, and they're just so wonderful. They're better than me."
Mm-hmm. I'm going to play an interviewer trick for
absolutely. I like
for compelling content. Okay,
of course,
though, because I have a story too.
No, you don't.
I do.
Okay,
but like,
I thought this was about me.
Well, it's about both of us. But like, what, when was last time, or just like the most memorable time that your, one of your girls got you just like about ready to ball your eyes out? Like, what did they do, or what happened? What was the circumstance?
Oh man. That one's a tough one too. I think there are so many moments.
Well, I already have mine, so then I'll let you think while I tell
yours.
The story.
You okay. Tell yours.
So, I was out mule deer hunting in Meade County, and
you were out
was
mule deer
be...
hunting.
What?
You were out mule deer hunting.
Mule deer.
Mule deer.
Mule.
Mule deer.
Mule.
Mule deer. Is that like Norse for?
Mule, like, you know, oh, okay. You're being an ass or a mule. I'm not sure which.
Mule. I thought it.
Did I say it weird?
You did a little bit. I thought it was, it might have been.
That's one thing I noticed listening back to the previous podcast. When I get a few in me,
very Nordic.
My enunciation is not what it was when I was sober on the radio. Like, I get a few drinks. Like, now I know how I sound when,
you never
when
drank
I'm a little...
before the radio? I drank all the time before I was on your show.
No, I never did. Not once. I worked with a lot of people who did. None in Sioux Falls. Like, everybody I worked with in Rapid, I'm pretty sure was hammered.
Oh,
or was just, like, had just gotten in from the night before or something.
Let's name names.
No. Cliff. But he already knows that.
Cliff doesn't work for the radio station.
So, no, I was out hunting out in Meade County, and I was...
Meade County? It, like,
where Sturgis is.
I get that. I was just saying that it's so crazy that South Dakota loves drinking, that they're just going to name counties after beverages.
I'm pretty sure it's after a guy. I'm pretty sure. Like, all the counties.
Why are you ruining my joke?
I don't know.
You know what? You need to sober up.
Anyway.
Sorry.
So
I keep interrupting you.
I was hunting, and I was getting text messages about my daughter's musical.
Yeah.
That she was going to be in. Now, I applied for the tags. I got the tags. The trip was a thing.
Right.
Happening well before the schedule for, like, before the school year even started.
Your
we had
kid
no
decided
idea.
To be a dick afterwards.
Right. It was all her fault. Like, you know, and like on paper, I'm like, well, sorry, I've already, you know.
Yeah.
I've got this opportunity to go hunt. So I'm going to.
I've been there.
And you have not hunted.
Well, I've never hunted. I've just been in those situations where I'm
you
like,
had something.
I've got. I'm right. Sorry. I love you, but like.
But I got to go do this.
Daddy's got to go make people laugh for money.
Yes. And
so I went to Scarlett's.
So, okay, that was a much better joke. That was a way better joke than the previous one.
Scarlett's is a strip club here in town.
For those of you not familiar, so like the weather was going to be absolutely terrible. Like the wind was supposed to start blowing like 60 miles an hour. Like I had backpacked in, like I hauled everything on my back, water and everything, 3 miles in. To camp where I was at, and I'm like, my tent's gonna blow away and this is gonna suck. It's gonna rain, it's gonna be blowing 60 miles an hour, and deer don't move around when the weather's like that. I'm not gonna see anything, and then I'm gonna be done the next day anyway. So I was just like, screw it, I told my buddy, I was like, these text messages about the musical tomorrow are killing me and the weather's gonna suck, I'm gonna head home early. And he's like, okay. And so I go in and get down to Robert Frost, and she doesn't know I'm coming. Crystal didn't tell her I was coming.
Oh, those are the good moments.
So there were two performances. Crystal went to the first one, and then she just thought she was going to do the second one, and then Crystal was going to pick her up afterwards. And when they're all coming in, and she did have a couple of little individual parts in this musical.
Yeah.
And as she's walking in, Crystal told me where to sit so she would see me because she was coming in the far right door. So I made sure I was as close up front as I could be, right up front. And when she walks in and sees me, she like puts her hands over her face and she's like, oh my God, my daddy's here. And and then she does the musical and whatever. And
it's at that moment when they put that
and they yeah. see you, right? And you're just like, oh, she does well, love oh, me.
But just wait. Yeah, because I wouldn't know.
Right?
It's hard for me to know otherwise. And then when it's all over, I walk up to her to just give her a hug and say good job. She like runs off the risers, attacks me with the biggest hug she's ever given me.
Oh,
and
yeah. is
just bawling her eyes out. And I'm just like, and she just wouldn't let go. Like, yeah. it was, okay, yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't need to shoot a mule deer this year. That's fine.
Right. This is worth it.
Yeah. Absolutely. It was totally worth it. 100%.
Absolutely. No, that's.
Yeah.
Yeah. Those are those moments that you hold on to forever. And, you know, Jackie's going to be 20, what, in like 6 years?
Shut up. Good hell.
You're going to remember that. You're going to be like, I'll remember when yeah. you will.
No, but then remember what my son did right before we started recording?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. yeah.
You're going to remember that fart to the face.
No, I won't, because he does it all the time.
Oh, well.
He jumped up on the couch just because, like, that was because you're here.
Pink eye is temporary.
He jumps up on the couch, bends over, farts right in my face. Like, it's his thing. He's the farting ninja. Like, when he gets to have an Instagram account in a few years, like, I'm sure that'll be his handle. if someone doesn't have it already.
Yeah, you know, there's something about growing up being a little boy. You're just like,
oh yeah,
there's company here.
He's
I'm either gonna helicopter dick this thing, yeah. or I'm gonna fart. Like, what, you never walked out? Like,
No, it reminds me of another comedian who made me laugh hysterically when I saw him in Deadwood eons ago. Was Rodney Carrington performing in Deadwood.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, this was back around...
The country comic.
Yeah, this was around 2001,
yeah.
2002.
When he had that big... that titty song or
yeah.
something like that.
He was at kind of his peak back then.
Right.
And,
yep.
And he was funny. Like, oh man, I laughed hard.
I bring up the farting.
But he had a helicopter right? joke. That's what made me think of Rodney Carrington.
The helicopter dick thing. See,
ladies, what we're talking about here is sometimes when you get out of the shower and you're having a good day. Like, you know how you have a good hair day?
There are good dick days.
There are.
And it's like, you want to share your dick with the world.
Yeah, but you can't because it's inappropriate. So then you just perform in front of the mirror and do a little helicopter.
But, so when I was growing up.
And now I'm just sitting here wondering, what's my mom going to think after she hears this?
Does your mom listen to this?
Well, she definitely listened to the last one with my brother.
Oh, wonderful.
So, but she doesn't know you, so.
She's going to absolutely, she's like, he curses a lot.
Yeah. He said the C word early, right away.
He did right away.
Yeah.
Not even 3 minutes into this podcast. Yeah.
I'm honestly surprised I haven't gotten any complaints about cussing.
Really?
Because, like, you've kind of set the bar too, like. You've elevated it to another level, but you still, like, you cuss appropriately.
Sure.
But, like, I sort of have, like, a one, maybe two F-bomb rule.
Oh, man.
For myself.
Oh,
like,
snap.
No. It's fine. That's for me. That's just for me. But,
yeah, no, you're really going to get something from the FCC
but,
podcast.
No, it's still a little weird to cuss in a microphone.
Oh, man.
It really is.
Sure.
Just from being so careful for so long.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely.
But,
so you were saying my proudest moments where I had those.
Yeah.
Tearing
one of your
up.
One of your kids
you
made
know,
you cry
for Beckett. It's Beckett has really excelled at sports and things of that nature. And, you know, Beckett was also in Ninja with Rock, and seeing Beckett get second place in one of the ninja competitions.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, holy shit, I could have never done that. That's so cool. And being Beckett's biggest cheerleader during that.
Oh, like, yeah.
I'm the loud dad. I know I am.
Dude, seriously, we missed you guys not being there at the competitions. Like, you completely set the tone for all the parents
that's
when
awesome.
You were there. Seriously, like, it was just not the same because I'm just not that outgoing. And you, like, okay, so here's the deal. Whenever they would have a competition at 605 Ninja, like, it didn't matter if it was one of his kids or my kid or whoever's kid. It was just like, yeah, let's go, cowbell, and ring, 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 ring. It's like the biggest, loudest cheerleader. And it seriously set the tone, because now, like, when I go to... Plus, it's
quiet.
Like...
Is it quiet?
Oh, it's so much more quiet. Like, no, but it's just not... It's not the same. But also, like, now, like, whenever there's a competition, it's, like, sort of the... I mean... God bless Jason. Like, they've done a hell of a job of that place.
Yeah,
like,
absolutely.
And just the sport itself has grown, and it's just more serious now. You know, it's like the actual regional thing.
They probably wouldn't let me do a drunk run again.
I don't know, maybe, but especially when it's like one of the bigger ones, when there were parents in from out of town, families in from out of town, like, you know, you could just tell, like, some of the other gyms don't have the same vibe that they have at 605.
Yeah.
Like, it's so...
I think we brought that, too, when we were there in Maple Grove, Minnesota. When we had to bring our kids.
Yeah, I couldn't go. I had to work.
Yeah.
And
I remember...
Was that the one when Rock was there?
That was the one when Rock was there.
And so you guys were there.
Crystal was hanging out with us, and, yeah, we were just super loud.
That's when she got to know you guys.
Yeah.
Because it was always me taking Rock to Ninja, and so I was always hanging out with you and Abby. But, no, it's... but, yeah, like, a lot of the other town, you know, or the gyms outside of town were not... They just weren't as friendly, you know? It wasn't as fun or whatever, you know, and, you know, the gym here, they're so positive
so good there.
Yeah. I mean,
605 Ninja, you got to come and check it out. This is a shameless plug. We're going to bill Jason and Lacey later. No, we're not.
Okay. No. I actually was like thinking, because he actually, last week when I was there, like a week ago, he was like, hey, listen to your podcast. It was really good. It never dawned on me a week ago when he said that, like, he'd be good to have on.
Yeah, I had him on mine.
So sorry, Jason. I haven't told you yet, but I'm going to have you on my podcast.
Oh,
as long as he does it. I'm pretty sure he will.
He was on my podcast.
Yeah.
Him and his wife. So,
I was on your podcast, but no one heard it.
Yeah, no, it did get.
Oh, it did get out?
Yes, it did get out.
Oh,
yes.
You did get it. Okay.
I did get it out. I did get it out.
Okay. Cause, like, you were doing the one
it
there
was
for a while.
Not a good audio one.
Yeah. There were
issues. Yeah.
I got them worked out now.
So
they're pretty well dialed. I got them dialed.
But no, yes, it did get out. It did get out.
Oh, shit. I haven't even done my own ad. SiouxFallsShooting.com. Take a shooting class. I have two spots open for. Yeah, October 8th. That's going to be this Saturday. I have an intro to handgun class. I provide the guns and the ammo, and you come and learn and have fun.
Cool.
And you don't have to have your own stuff. You just show up and you learn, and you either like it or you don't, and that's cool either way. I've actually had people come up to me like, you know what? I'm so glad I came. I really enjoyed it. Like, because
my
like
wife has said that to me twice.
I had a good time. I enjoyed it. I learned a lot, but I'm never buying a pistol. And I'm like, well, that's cool. You know, it's not for everybody.
I'm that person. I have fired a gun and I'm like, not for me. I'm like, yeah, take my wallet, you know.
Yeah.
And I'm bringing it back around to the first joke I said about my last name.
It's kind of funny, like the niche sport that I play with my pistols, like we literally run around with loaded guns and shoot
them
as fast as we can. Yes. Yes. An actual firearm. Running around, and people like have no idea it exists. Like, I didn't know it existed until like 7 years ago.
Hold on, wait. You run around with a gun?
Yeah. Haven't you seen any of the videos?
I've seen the videos, but to me, what you were just describing sounded like you were playing fucking laser tag.
No, it's not laser tag, but I mean, I do literally, like, I ran with a loaded pistol in my hand.
Yes, those are cool. Those are really cool. And I think I would shoot once, be like, okay, I'm done.
No, seriously, like, I would love to see a dude like Jason Steinberg, like from 605 Ninja, like a guy that athletic and quick. Like,
I would love to see him do some parkour with a gun.
Well,
and do some wanted parkour, like shit.
You know, there's probably a few. I've been to like one match where he could probably do some parkour and get away with it. But most of the time, no, the walls are not really strong enough for that. They're mostly just a vision barrier more than an actual wall. So,
good times.
But like, yeah, that's the problem though. It's starting to get more popular. So now it's like all these young dudes who are actually super athletic. It's kind of hard for a fat 45-year-old to keep up with those guys. Like, I can shoot as well as them, but they do everything else way faster. That's the hard part, but yeah.
Damn.
What were you going to say?
No, I honestly was just entranced by the fact that...
So anyway, sign up for a shooting class, SiouxFallsShooting.com. Oh, also, I had a guy from Madison get a hold of me doing an enhanced class up there on the 16th. That's a Sunday... And October 16th, so it's sort of a last-minute-y thing. So if you want to take that class, that's on October 16th, SiouxFallsShooting.com. I can't believe I'm like an hour in before I did my ad.
Hey.
I'm so bad.
You're welcome.
That. Maybe I'll just record one after you leave and be like...
We're just going to pop this on in here.
So Casey just started talking right away, and I couldn't really...
Yep, I'm just going to talk.
Tosh did the same thing when she got... Because like she just started... talking like we always did, like like when we actually did a radio show, like I would have stuff planned and then she would start talking and then I'm like, okay.
Yeah, we haven't even gotten to that ASMR thing.
Oh yeah.
We just started talking about
it. Yeah, but you know what? Everything else seemed more interesting and now I don't care.
Yeah. It's all right.
ASMR is dumb. I don't get it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. Topic ended.
There we go. Opinion.
Yeah. Opinion. Bleh. So do you ever perform around here aside from the theater?
Yeah, I have done some shows around here.
I'm saying this as someone honestly who enjoys stand-up comedy, but yeah. Like, is there a place to go here anymore?
There is.
There is. Where do you go?
Boss's Comedy.
Oh, I knew that. Never mind.
Yeah, you did.
Oh, in T?
It's in T now. Yeah.
Oh.
I moved over to T.
Okay, that I didn't know.
It used to be the old Cheap Shots.
Oh, and years before that, it was the Sports Page. Is that
place? That's exactly it.
I know where it is.
And then there's a bunch of open mics that are popping up everywhere. Lucky's is bringing an open mic night back. Zach Dresch is hosting that one this week, which is the week of the fucking third.
Today is October 3rd. Yeah.
When does this air?
And it drops in like 2.5 hours.
Cool. So you're not going to want to go to that on Thursday. You're going to want to go to Young Frankenstein. Thursday through Friday at the Premier Playhouse. 7 o'clock shows on Thursday through Sunday, or Thursday through Saturday, and then 2 p.m. on Saturday and Sunday. Club David is doing an open mic night again. The bonus round does one occasionally. So all these open mics are popping on up. Bosses has a show, I think maybe once or twice a month now. They bring in some regional comics to come on in. I haven't done one for a while. I actually got in trouble at my Joe Schmo job.
Really?
Several years ago. Yeah, I opened up for Carlos Mencia back in...
Oh, I remember that.
2017. And...
I remember him playing here. I don't remember you getting in trouble.
Well, I didn't. I didn't get in trouble for 2 years about it.
Oh, for 2 years.
Yeah, which is crazy. So I'm just sitting at work one day, and I get a call from my boss. And my boss just goes, hey, I just got a notification that's been sitting on the regional president's desk for a while. You did a show... back in like July of 2017. And I'm like, it's 2019. What are you talking about? And he goes, you did a show and either you said something or the comic said something, but somebody was there and knew you worked here, you know? And I'm just going to say, you might want to not do comedy where you're at. And I went, well, that makes sense. I get it. And I just started laughing.
Why would you not?
Yeah. My thing is...
Because you were standing in public telling jokes?
Well, Carlos Mencia is a relatively offensive comic, right? I don't think I'm offensive. I don't, you know.
Well, it depends on who's listening, but.
Sure. But I mean,
but like they were going to a Carlos Mencia show and then they saw you and it was offensive, but Carlos Mencia was not?
Yeah. Well, like I said, either I said something or one of the comics said something.
Like and it so, had, it, yeah. It wasn't just that you performed. It was
the joke
that,
wasn't even there. Like they didn't even tell me what the joke was, so I could be like, "Yeah, that's me." Like I mean, if it was me, I would be like, "Yeah, that's a good fucking joke."
Yeah,
I'll own that joke.
Yeah. You know? Well, yeah, it's funny, isn't it?
Right, but yeah. So they were just like, "Hey, maybe don't do things in Sioux Falls for a while." I was like, "All right, whatever. That's fine."
And you still work there?
No, I don't. I had actually started doing things outside of Sioux Falls, you know, in North Dakota and Minnesota and Iowa and and Nebraska and whatnot and in Chicago and was doing a bunch of things. And so I was like, whatever. And like, I don't need to do that. I think we do so many open mic nights here that it got very, very repetitive for me and I didn't feel like I was growing. So I had to get out and challenge myself with people that I didn't know. And so that's why I kind of stopped doing comedy here in Sioux Falls if it was an open mic night.
Yeah.
But if I can get on a show, I definitely do a show.
Yeah.
So I've done Spellbound a couple times. I've opened up, for a fantastic comic, Nathan Timmel, who every time he passes through South Dakota, he brings me along as his feature.
Mm.
So I've done that, you know, several times throughout and I've been in North Dakota maybe about 6 times over the last 2 years. So
who's the most famous person you have regular contact with?
Most famous person that I have regular
and if you
contact
don't,
with?
But I mean, you've probably encountered a few.
I wouldn't say regular contact, you know, in passing Chad Daniels and I have said hi or have commented on each other's things.
Oh, okay.
You know, I used to
honestly social media accounts.
Okay, so yeah, there's that. Pete Lee, I used to text him a little bit for on occasion just to check in. Michael Malone, I would say, is relatively famous.
Oh
as
yeah,
well.
Yeah. We interviewed him once. He was good.
Yeah, he's fantastic.
He was a good interview.
I think the closest would probably be one of my good friends who's not in the comedy world, but he works on the set of NCIS Los Angeles with Chris O'Donnell and LL Cool J.
Wow.
But, so I mean, I was just at a wedding with him.
What is his job?
He's like a scouting manager. So he's like, yeah, this
like
place
locations?
Looks, yeah, he's
oh,
like, this
okay.
place looks dope. That's a good-looking alley to get raped in. I don't know. That's a bad joke. I'm going to get canceled.
But, I mean, that's what he's looking for, though.
Right,
this
yeah,
is the
that's
scene
exactly,
of the crime.
That's exactly it, you know. Why did I have to go there? Murdered, mugged. I went right for the... I mean, I'm in regular contact with him.
Yeah.
I graduated high school with him.
That would be a pretty cool job to have.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
you know?
To just, like, look for... cool locations, even just like certain things like how last year I was in I went to a match down in Alabama and I flew into Atlanta, my first time in Atlanta, and I used to be a big Walking Dead fan before the show started
yeah,
to suck
who,
but
who
I still
wasn't,
liked
right?
I still love like the first 6 seasons were fantastic, and I had to drive to that bridge
yeah
that overlooks downtown Atlanta where Rick's riding in on the horse. Like,
right.
I drove to that bridge and I like took pictures. Like I had to do that.
That's cool.
I drove to the town where Woodbury was filmed. Sonoya.
I've got a good Woodbury story.
And Woodbury, Minnesota?
No. I've got a good Woodbury Walking Dead story.
But then they still had the setup from Alexandria.
Oh, that's cool.
Was still up and like they had filmed stuff. I'm like, when did that burn? I hadn't seen that episode yet just because I was behind because I quit watching it regularly because yeah. it got kind of dumb. Yeah. It used to be so good. It's still not over.
It's ending.
They're the last. I saw a tweet.
In
or
like
a,
6 more weeks.
They have like 3 more episodes left or 4 more episodes, something
Eight
like that.
8 more episodes.
Eight
six
more?
6 more episodes
Jesus.
Left.
Is this ever going to end?
Yes.
It's only been
6 weeks.
13 years worth of... good hell.
Yeah.
I was in this room after Chris and I watched some movie on Netflix when Netflix was pretty new, the streaming part of it. At least it was new to us.
Right.
It was like 2011. And we watched whatever movie we're watching. I'm like, nah, I'm not tired. I'm going to watch something else. And then, oh, The Walking Dead. I heard that was good. And I'm not a horror guy.
Yeah.
Like, I don't like scary movies. I never have. I can see all the blood and guts in an action movie. It doesn't bother me. But if in the context of a horror movie, and I watched that entire first season that night. Like, I stayed up till 3 a.m. and I watched all 6 episodes. Oof. And it was just like, this is so good. And the second season had just started.
Yeah.
So I was only like 2 episodes behind. And I'm just like, damn, that show was so good. And then it just got stupid. Like, so bad. Okay. Well, 1 hour and 10 minutes. How long were your podcasts?
Oh, man. My podcasts went over 1 hour. I think the longest one we had was 3.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Haven't got there yet.
That's all right. That's all right. Do you have wrap-up questions? Do I have like rapid fire?
Do you want me to come up with rapid fire questions?
I don't know. I was just wondering.
When's the last time you got your penis stuck in something? This is rapid fire.
Does my wife count? She's going to hate me.
Or she's relieved, honestly.
Stuck in something? Oh, man. Probably when I was like... probably when I was 12.
My mom's so proud right now.
12. I'm going to say 12. Coke can. No. Just... Ow.
Ow. Ow. As soon as you said that, I just sort of...
No, but I mean, I think I got my finger stuck in one of those Qdoba bottles that are like on the wall. The little
Qdoba
wine
bottles.
It was like a Qdoba like restaurant. And they had open wine bottles in the wall for decoration. And I just put my finger in it and went boom. And I'm like...
And it wouldn't come out.
Yeah, and that happened maybe about 2 months ago.
Oh.
So, like, my impulsive thoughts get...
I can put my finger in that.
That's exactly it. My impulsive thoughts get the best of
me. I
want to
see what it feels like in there.
So penis 12, finger 2 months ago.
All right. The last sporting event you attended.
Last sporting event I attended was the Chicago Blackhawks Minnesota Wild game in January of this year. Yeah, and
I forgot you're a big hockey fan.
Yeah.
I don't understand it.
I love hockey.
I respect it.
I love hockey. I have never seen my hockey team, which is the Blackhawks. They're not mine. I don't own them, right? But the team I root for, I've never seen them win a game. And
oh, in person?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. I'm afraid of who will listen to this, so I don't want to say what happened before the game. I might have indulged in a little treat for myself from a friend.
And oh, you mean they may have won, but you
no,
were
they
not
did,
conscious.
They did not win. They did not win.
Oh.
But my buddy, 3 minutes left in the game, they scored a goal to put them up 3-2. And I'm like, oh my God, they're going to win. What am I going to do? What am I going to do? What am I going to do? And my buddy looks at me and he goes, you might actually watch your team win. What are you going to do? I'm like, I think I'm supposed to cry. I don't know. So that was the last game. They ended up losing in overtime because of
stuff
me.
Happens
because of me. I'm the curse. Yeah.
No, I only attended all 3 Vikings games and they won all 3.
Good for you.
That I went to. But now I kind of don't care.
I've attended 5 Chicago Bulls games and they've won every single one. So good for that.
It's sort of weird. I just, my interest in professional sports has really waned. Like, I don't care anymore, really. I mean, I still, like, the guys that were my heroes when I was a kid, like Mark Grace and like John Randall, like, I still like those guys. But, like, sitting down, and I'm not knocking anybody who does this at all, but like sitting down for 3 hours on a Sunday, there's usually other things I would rather be doing.
If I'm going to do that, I'd rather be in company with other people.
Yeah.
To commiserate.
Yeah. No, like I'm now it would have to be a social thing. Like, yeah, I'll still watch the Super Bowl. Like, I'll watch, I'll probably watch the baseball playoffs because the baseball was always like my favorite sport. And I think
baseball
playoffs are like the most exciting, or can be. Baseball can be the most boring and the most exciting sport on the planet.
Agreed.
But the situation really has to be right for it to be super exciting. But, but outside of that, like, I just, no, I don't need to go to a Twins game anymore. That seems like a really expensive waste of money.
Yeah.
And the and what sport, even when I was still buying sports tickets, like, Jesus, $50 for, you know, an outfield seat, like, really? Damn.
That's not bad. Fuck, I would kill for one.
Yeah. No, I, outside of that, like, the last sporting event I attended, Lincoln High School versus Jefferson High School a couple weeks ago. No.
These kids are actually playing because they love the game, not for the money.
The
it doesn't count. I only watch professionals.
But, like, when I was in high school playing football, like, I loved it.
Yeah.
I loved it. But I was playing with all my buddies. And then I went to college and played there, and I'm like, oh, I guess I don't love football. Like, it was... Like, I like the games. I still liked playing the game.
Right.
But practice was not fun. I didn't know any of these guys.
Yeah.
You know, like, I'm pretty slow to grow or let people grow on me. And most of the people I was playing with were douchebags. And some of, like, it was Black Hill State. Like, now they're at least an NCAA school. Right. They're, like, Division II now. When I was there, they were NAIA.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And...
Yeah.
Like, there were the number of guys who thought they were going to actually make the NFL was shockingly high. I'm like, what?
Yeah.
Really? Like, I don't mean to burst your bubble here, but, like, you're not going to play in the NFL. Like, you're as slow as I am, and I'm a lineman, and you're a corner. Like,
right.
It was just like,
you know, I never liked sports in high school or college either because I was probably beat up by.
By those guys.
What are you doing, funny man?
Wait, so when did you start liking hockey?
I kid. I've always been a huge sports fan.
Oh, okay.
You know, I grew up in Chicago and Minnesota.
So, like, why do they stop skating all of a sudden? Like,
what do you mean? What are they, like, when the whistle blows?
Like, they're playing hockey, and then the whistle blows for reasons I can't understand, and then they stop.
Well, it's a penalty.
Well, usually if somebody takes a stick in the face, that's pretty easy to see, or, you know.
Yeah, like some of the hooking and the slashings and things like that are hard to determine
okay.
and see on the ice. But most of the time, there's stoppage in plays, and then it's like a 15-second stoppage because somebody was offsides, and that means they were over the blue line before the puck crossed the blue line.
That rule I am aware of.
Or they iced it, which means that...
That icing rule.
They weren't in the neutral zone.
When Nintendo ice hockey was a thing and there would be icing, I was like, what?
We have just bored your entire fan base.
With hockey. That's okay. We're at the end.
All right.
Most people have tuned out already anyway.
Probably.
Like, I saw the graph on Spotify. Like, most people are gone by about 45 minutes.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Not most, but...
Well, I hope I gave them an extra 25 minutes of good shit.
But, like, the first one I did was only, like, 20 minutes long, and they're like, hey, I download this to hear you talk. Like, you can go longer. It's fine. If it gets boring, I'll just shut it off. Yeah.
I'm sorry.
She said that, too.
I like that joke.
Okay, so are you done with Young Frankenstein? Is that over?
Young Frankenstein ends this weekend.
This weekend.
Yep, so ends October 9th on Sunday at 2 o'clock. That's our final show, but tickets are still available for Thursday at 7, Friday at 7, Saturday at 2 p.m., and Saturday at 7. It's a doubleheader. You're not going to want to miss this. It is an absolutely incredible show full of outstanding local talent, and I mean that. I know we joked about it at the beginning, and I sincerely say this, that everybody from the principal characters, Barry Longdon as Dr. Frankenstein, Alex Newcomb-Wyland as Inga, Sean Shannon as Inspector Kemp, Nathan Sparks as the monster, Julie Haddock-Sauer as Frau Blücher. I have to make the noise because of the movie, but they're great. Paul Ridgway as Victor and part of the ensemble, and Landon Javers as the Hermit. Everybody's incredible. If they're listening and I did not name them, I want every.
They're the right fielder.
They're the right fielder. I want every single one of them to know how incredibly proud I am of them. But Sioux Falls has to turn out for this. South Dakota should turn out for it. Support local comedy. Go to Bosses. Go to the open mics. Go to Improv Falls. Go to things that will make
you laugh. Where's Improv Falls?
Improv Falls happens all over Sioux Falls and all over South Dakota, just at many different venues. But check them out on Facebook. I can't talk enough about the comics and Zach Dresch, Nathan Holtz, Skylar Bulks, Luke Johnson. These are people that you need to be watching and going to see.
Oh, I'm going to put you on the spot.
Yeah.
Who's the best comic in Sioux Falls?
Me.
I knew you were going to say that.
And they would disagree. Single one of them would disagree.
Well, I have a trophy that proves otherwise.
That's very true. I'm the third best comic in Sioux Falls.
Yeah, you're the third best comic in Sioux Falls in 2011.
But Andy, thank you so much for having me on this show. It was an absolute blast.
Well, don't wrap it up for me. That's douchey of you.
Well, I mean,
like, thank you for having me.
It's just a natural
like,
thing.
I didn't say thanks for coming.
All right, well.
I was like,
neither does my wife.
Yeah. And here's where
she's
we hit.
Just like, this is a mess. Get me a towel. I'm going to need a towel after this, Andy.
No, you won't. I promise you won't.